All right, we're about to go around the NFL, but apparently all we did in the question of the day is start up all those conversations simultaneously in almost like a battle world type like, situation.
Just imagine
it's
everybody,
working.
Just imagine everybody in one place having all these conversations.
Oh, it's the worst thing ever.
This is the place.
And on the, so on the YouTube page currently, the conversation is trying to nail down why indeed hot dogs are a sandwich, or really more importantly, just trying to knock down Lopez's sandwich logic internally.
It's not logic. It is absolute logic.
Poll, no, go ahead and say not, that. He gave away the game. It's not logic.
It's not just logic.
And the po' boy is one, it's one piece of bread.
No, it's not. Po' boy is two pieces of bread.
No.
Nope. Po' boy is two pieces of bread.
You don't have to cut all the way through to make a po' boy.
713-572-4610.
Po' boy is two pieces of bread. Go to New Orleans.
We were in New Orleans. Yeah, we had po' boys.
I love go to New Orleans as the yeah.
Well, that's where
gotcha.
Po' boys are yeah. Like, born.
Brother, we were just in New Orleans.
And it's
we
two ate pieces
we
of
ate
bread.
Together.
Yes, it is.
Not always. Oh, man. Okay.
Man, send us a po' boy so we can figure this out, man.
Oh, you're just hungry.
What a hustle.
Hungry, yeah.
I'm trying to all right, John, buy some po' boys, man, then we can test. Go ahead and get them. Get them delivered.
Where's my Uber Eats?
Yeah, prove it.
Prove it.
Boneless wings or nuggets is another one that came in on the debates that are going to overtake that situation. All of that. Appreciate you guys. Is Steph Curry the best point guard? All sorts of those that are going on. On the text line 713-572-4610 and also the Mokarem and Drew Lawyer live streams both on YouTube and Twitch. All right, let's go around the NFL where it's schedule release day. So I'm looking forward to the videos and media that they put out to ultimately try and release, you know, the full schedules of these teams. But we get more information on some of these things, including that we had Christmas, which we know is going to involve the Kansas City Chiefs. But also, now we have Kansas City Chiefs and the Broncos, mind you. But now we have Thanksgiving, where it seems like all your holidays, you will not be able to run away from Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, all that, because you're going to get the Battle of America's team, or Battle for America's team, it seems like. The Kansas City Chiefs will be in Dallas in that 3:30 slate on November 27th, week 13, on CBS for Thanksgiving. And it just feels like, man, the NFL is leaning heavily in a way that I don't necessarily understand into putting some games that you would view as their biggest games that you wouldn't need on these marquee dates on the marquee dates, which makes me wonder, Lopez, are they operating in a bad way to where some of the other windows that you would typically need a game like, you know, obviously Kansas City, Dallas, you wouldn't be able to do specifically, but like Kansas City Chiefs to prop up some of these windows?
I think that's a fair point for the Thanksgiving Day game, but I think there's two important things to say here. Number one, have you ever said, I'm going to make a sandwich and made a hot dog? That's number one.
What are you doing?
The answer is no.
What you're arguing about is specificity. You are always making a sandwich, but you simply classify it in the subcategory of hot dog, and so you will be more specific in that instance calling it a hot dog, but it's still a sandwich.
But the point is, you've never said, I'm going to make a sandwich and made a hot dog. That's number one.
You're arguing semantics.
Have you
rather
ever done
than
it?
Classification. You're arguing semantics rather than
but have you ever done that? I'm going to make a sandwich and made a hot dog.
You're arguing semantics rather than classification.
Yes. Have you ever done that?
We're just going to, this is going to be a loop because I'm willing to just say the same thing if you are.
I asked a question and you're not answering it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I think they're really trying, and I'm not saying they're going to be successful. They're really trying to make the Chiefs America's team. They're trying hard to make the Chiefs America team.
They over here like working them to the gristle, man.
Your point on Thanksgiving is fair because that's the Cowboys thing, but the Chiefs are there. The Chiefs are going to be there. And there have been five credible leaks in the first 5 weeks.
But leaks nonetheless.
That have to do with the Chiefs. You have Brazil. You have one that has not been identified in terms of the time slot. You have Sunday Night Football. And you have Monday Night Football. And then you have Thanksgiving. So they're going to Brazil for the kickoff game.
And don't forget Christmas, as we mentioned.
Christmas as well. So, okay, that's right. So they have Brazil, Sunday night, Monday night, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. They're trying. I don't know if they're going to be successful, but they're trying to make the Chiefs America's team.
Are they trying to do that, or are they trying to take advantage of the whole Taylor Swift
thing? That's the question.
Well, I don't think it's the Taylor Swift thing. I think it's because they're typically really good at football, which we might be overthinking that portion of it. It might just be, hey, Kansas City's really good and put them in these
But we
these
saw them
spaces.
Lean into the Taylor Swift thing, too, though.
Well, no, I think it's part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's part of it, but it's also, like Reggie said, they're really, really good. But, dude, there's only been 2, 4, 6, 7 games released. 5 of them at least are primetime.
Right.
You know, 6 of them. 6 of them are primetime.
And I think the primetime is understood, but like I think the marquee games of some like specifically like a Christmas or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe this is ultimately just a no, but are they maybe making a misstep in having some of the games that you would easily circle on a schedule as some of the most interesting games on the days where you're going to watch regardless?
Yeah.
Like you're probably going to watch the Black Friday football game regardless, because it is in this time where you're probably at home, you need something to put on, might not be, same way that you're going to watch, I mean, I've watched so many Lions football games that I had no interest in because it was just on, and that is the time where you watch football.
Right.
And so you're going to watch that Thanksgiving Dallas game because that's what you do in that instance, putting the Kansas City Chiefs there, and of course, look, they're going to play them, it's fine. But putting the Kansas City Chiefs there feels like almost a waste of using the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I imagine the ratings are going to pop something ridiculous. But I do wonder, then, does that create one of those things that happens where when you have more and more games moved away from the Sunday slate, where you look at the noon slate and you go, actually, we got about 5 games and I'm not all that interested in any of them. That's the question.
I think that's more than fair. Absolutely, that's more than fair. But they do love them some. This is the highest rated Thanksgiving game since blah, blah, blah. This is the highest rated Black Friday game since blah, blah, blah.
It seems like that's what they're trying to do, especially with the Thanksgiving game.
And the Chiefs are going to guarantee that.
Yeah, Chiefs and Cowboys on the same field.
Dude, I can't get over this. There's only been 7 games released, and 6 of them are just all like Hallmark games or primetime games, Sunday night football, Monday night football, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, it's...
And then the Chiefs play the Eagles week 2 on Fox.
Yeah.
That's an afternoon. That's a 4 o'clock game.
All right. This is going to be Reggie's, I guarantee, his favorite moment of the entire show.
What is he doing now?
We have a leak on the Texan schedule.
It is a leak.
But
hey, man, just the idea, because it feels like we ain't really even gotten leaks in that space. Nobody really has cared to give us information about the Texans.
Right. If you weren't listening earlier, the first one came up out this morning. It's Texans at Jacksonville week 2.
Wait, you said 2 or 3?
Week 3.
Okay.
The reason I stumbled is because week 2 has been released, and it is Monday Night Football.
Hey, that's one. Count
Monday Night Football at home versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I like it.
Okay. I like it.
That's a pretty solid football team.
Yeah.
Okay. Shiloh Sanders, baby. Let's go.
You think he makes the roster, huh? You think he makes the roster, huh? All right. Go ahead and call your shot, brother. I respect it. So we have...
The Shiloh game.
We have 2 leaks. If it's the Shiloh game, something has gone terribly
Shiloh
wrong.
Shiloh versus Nico.
Something
Sanders
has gone
versus Nico.
Terribly wrong if it's the Shiloh-Sanders game in week 2. And I say that with all due respect to Shiloh. However, you know it. You know it, my man. But there you go. Week 2... at home, you said?
At home, Monday
versus,
Night Football.
Versus the Bucs, and then week 3 versus the Jaguars are the leaks that we have currently for the Texans. Leaks.
Yeah.
I cannot substantiate them to a point, but you feel confident about those.
Yeah.
In talking about the schedule, one of the things that comes up is obviously which broadcast partners have them, and now we've discussed this. There's a lot more streaming in the space and a lot more things that you might have in order to watch it. And of course, I always want to remind folks that the NFL does have it to where if you want to watch, your local game, if you're in market, they try and make sure. And I believe it is a rule that they have within there that it has to be covered locally on one of the broadcasters, anyways, over the air. So you would not necessarily have to go out of your way to do all these. However, for the win, a USA Today property always does this before the year. How much it would roughly cost to watch every NFL game in the 2025 season.
Ooh.
I saw that, man.
You were already bracing for impact. I did was tell you the idea.
I don't even want to know. That's one of those things where I don't even want to know.
So they talked about the all-encompassing NFL viewing plans, talking about, you know, make sure you have an over-the-air antenna to be able to get all of those, making sure that you have Sunday Ticket, which is a big amount of money, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video for Thursday night football games, Peacock for their exclusives, maybe ESPN Plus, or especially if you don't go the route of like some level of cable or bundle. And the rough total is, would you like to guess, fellas, how much it would cost you to watch every football game this season?
Subscribe, the whole nine.
Have the access to all of them.
I don't want to guess.
I'm going to say like $1,500.
Thankfully, not that high. So you'll feel good about this. Anywhere from $811 to $883.
That's too much.
Yeah.
And yet we pay.
Come Amen. Over to the dark side.
Now, of course, again, that can adds in making sure that you have Sunday ticket. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are in that space where they want to watch, you know, have access to every single game in that way. So that's probably a few hundred, $300-$400 that you don't need to have in that same space. But it points to the fact that it costs a lot of money, even in this space where so many of these games are available over the air. Like the NFL raking in money in all these various different
ways. Get you a Fire Stick. That's all I'm going to say. Get you a Fire Stick.
Get that Fire Stick. Problem solved.
The NFL is going to have someone break in here, just bust in here and grab, take Figgy away.
Hey, get the Fire Stick, get the apps and all that stuff they had on there, but Fire Stick.
I'm going to regret doing this, but did you just text to somebody trying to make the case that a hamburger isn't a sandwich?
No. What I'm saying is his logic is flawed because that person.
If that ain't pot kettle right now.
No. That his logic is completely flawed because he said, I've never said I'm going to make a sandwich and made a burger.
Correct.
But here is no debate that a burger is a sandwich. I'm not saying it's not. What I'm saying is
yeah. But you're using the exact same logic to try and make
no,
a hot
no,
dog sandwich
at all.
Point.
Because I've no, not at all.
This might be worse than Pete Rose.
No. Oh my gosh. That's how I need to stop. I shouldn't have done this. That's how I'll raise my hand. This is my fault. Right. I did this. I'll take responsibility. I apologize.
All right. A hamburger, to your point, is an absolute subcategory of a sandwich. That's your words, not mine. It is a subcategory of a sandwich.
That is correct.
Two pieces of bread. But when
I didn't say that it was based off of two pieces of bread, but okay.
Well, you didn't say that part. But when you talk about, hey, I'm going to make a hamburger, you say that. Or do you want a hamburger? You don't ever say, do you want a hamburger sandwich? It's an acknowledged subcategory of a sandwich. A hot dog is separate from that.
Unbelievable.
A hot dog is separate. A hot dog is a hot dog. So I was just straightening out the listener a little bit here.
I don't think you straightened anything out.
But if you put it,
everything is very bent.
If you put the hot dog in the category, it will go under the category of a sandwich, though.
No, it's separate.
They related.
So anyway, as we continue around the NFL,
No, they're not related.
I'm so sorry.
Because they're not related.
Because a hamburger is two pieces of bread. That's the critical thing. That's the crucial thing. A hamburger is a subcategory of sandwich.
So they have no relation.
No relation. Because a hamburger is the subcategory because it has two pieces of bread.
So a sandwich and a hot dog both use bread, but no relation.
They both use, you know, the bun, bread, you know, wheat, flour, all that stuff. But a hamburger has two pieces of bread, hence subcategory. A hot dog has one, hence not a sandwich.
So around the NFL, Trey Hendrickson showed up to voluntary workouts at the Bengals facility yesterday.
I could do this all day.
I know, and that's why I should stop bringing it up. That's why I should stop bringing it up. But I'm just a glutton for punishment, apparently. Trey Hendrickson was at the Bengals facility, but he was there in street clothes in order to talk contract because he is going to force the issue. In fact, can you give me cut two here from Trey Hendrickson? This was him and the very specific metaphor that he used to describe, you know, the aggression that he has had in trying to get a contract that he feels that is commensurate with his caliber of rush end.
I'm a Floridian, so there's unprovoked shark attacks and there's provoked shark attacks. And the comments that are being made, right, whatever happened at the combine, whatever happened at the owners' meetings, and the text I got yesterday, this is not something where I'm just twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, how can I get the next one up? Most of the teammates will agree. I don't spare my opinions. I kind of stay out of the media for that reason because I am an emotional player, and after a loss, it's a lot harder to talk than after a win. Especially in the circumstances that we had last season. So I carry it with a tremendous amount of respect, but these things are provoked. I would love to say to sit quiet is a good strategy. It is clearly not.
I thought he handled that perfectly well. just perfectly.
Yeah. And I mean, look, the
Bengals, what are you going to do?
Well, he's already said he's
not going to play.
There you go.
No, yeah. At this point, it's like, I mean, I don't know if he ain't getting no contract, no time. So Adam Schefter said the money is pretty much dried up now.
Well, that's elsewhere, right? Like, that's for trying to get somewhere else.
He better off just trying to get to another team, work his butt off, mm-hmm. play, and then come back to the table next season.
I mean,
I would not want to play for the Bengals after this.
I agree, but I felt like he also put on a clinic in how to make his point very, very clear. Draw a line in the sand, I'm not going to play, and yet still be somewhat of a sympathetic figure for fans. I think fans were like, you know what, he's right. You know what, I get it. I get why he's saying. He handled that like it was a clinic.
Yeah, and so, look, the tough part about it.
He ain't come across as like selfish or anything.
Exactly, exactly.
17 and a half sacks last year. I mean, a fantastic rush. And you saw, we mentioned this, we saw a couple of those types of guys, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, get huge, huge money deals this offseason. And it seems like, I mean, it would only make sense to match that if you're the Bengals, except the Bengals are who they are, largely cheap. And it seems like they're comfortable making their players angry in trying to get a deal. And this is why, bringing back the Texans, I've been very fond of the way that Nick Caserio has handled dealing with, you know, these player extensions. Yes, they might, you might even be a little pricey, although he's operating
and
early.
And get it done early.
But, man, everybody in the building seems to be happy about their deal for the most part, or at least not upset about their deal. Mm-hmm. And I just can't see the situation that the Texans end up in a place with someone like Trey Hendrickson over this, because they would not. Their MO is just completely opposite.
Bengals are not doing. Somebody that good. Mm-hmm. Now you might have somebody that might think they're good or think they worth a big contract, where it's just like, let's wait and see.
He's earned twice. He's gonna make $16 million. He's earned.
They should be looking out for him.
And one of the things that I also thought was funny, I'll throw this in here as my final nugget here. Cincinnati apparently wants to host the 28 or 29 NFL draft.
Good luck.
So while they have turmoil in their building, they're like, but we would like you to come to Cincinnati and spend some money on this NFL draft. Please do.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the Bengals. What a hilarious and honestly pretty sad franchise in my personal opinion. All right, you're in the – or that's around the NFL here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you sticking through whatever we were just doing there, because there was a lot of hot dog talk and I think a lot of it was wrong. But anyways, coming up next, this Texans quote, I think that it represents a flawed perspective on team building. I'll tell you what I mean next. I vow not to go back to that dark place. I'll do what I can.
This is most fun I've had in a long time.
I know, and that's the problem.
You know what I told Reggie in the break?
It's all at our expense.
The most fun thing about all this discussion is you agree with me, and yet you're arguing with me. You actually agree. You're like, nah, man, but what about...
Not doing any more of that.
Okay, we're done.
No more of that.
This time we really mean it.
I meant it the first time, to be honest.
I'm still waiting on the po' boy so we can put it to the test.
Somebody texted me, our boy Ralph listens all the time, a picture of a po' boy. He goes, show him! It's two pieces of bread.
Get out of here. All right. But let's get to this. Actually, before we get into what I tease, which is a Texans quote that I think is a little bit flawed on perspective on team building, looks like we might have another leak coming out here on a schedule release day. We'll find out what the entirety of the schedule looks like officially this evening. But based off of leaks, right, it seems like the Los Angeles Rams have no other possible opponents outside of the Houston Texans for week one. And you have cross-referenced this with the person that you seem to really trust on leaks.
He keeps a spreadsheet and he doesn't put garbage on there or unverified, at least unreported from credible places, games. And he has week one. Houston Texans at L.A. Rams.
Okay. So
I like that.
Starting on the road versus the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a trip I'd like to take.
I like that a lot. I remember we were talking in the 10 o'clock segment.
Yeah.
Separate the L.A. trips, first half of the season, second half of the season. I just think that'd be work out better. So you go, if this is to be believed, you know, as you point
out. Thank you. I appreciate
that. Still just reported, but unverified. Rams at Rams week one. Versus Tampa, which this is good coming off of an L.A. trip, too. Versus Tampa Bay on Monday night.
You get the extra day.
Get the extra day. And then at Jacksonville week three.
Yeah, I find that to be really interesting. Yeah. The Rams one is You talk about having a familiarity with the opponent. Like, you would hope that Nick Caley, bringing in his offense, would have some understanding of how the Rams operate, but also does that work the other way where Sean McVay is like, nah, I fathered this right here offensively, and we'll be able to be ready for whatever you're coming out with in its infancy, right? Yeah. In the first instance that you get to put it on its legs.
That's a great point.
In a regular season game. Will that then maybe pose some level of troubles for an offense that is just being put together, that is just getting its, you know, its bearings together with all the pieces involved? Especially, again, my favorite point that I like bringing up with an offensive line that is just trying to find its way to congeal. That'll be interesting if that is indeed what is relayed to us about the schedule once we get it tonight.
Yeah, I like it. It would figure to be a 3 o'clock window too, so you get a little bit of national love there.
Yeah, fewer games, which is good. Yeah. That's always good to have more eyes on it, or maybe it wouldn't be good. Yeah. Maybe you go, because this is the thing that'd be bad, right? All of the people that have been bashing the Texans offseason have been doing it off of what? Mm-hmm. Trade away Laremy Tunsil, and you haven't done a lot to fix that on the offensive line. If you come out and the offensive line looks funny and light in front of company, right? And in a more visible setting, oh boy, they're gonna be on Nick Caserio and the Texans, and probably our Keisters as well.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be a big one to come out and show out for the Texans, if indeed it does come down that they will be facing the Los Angeles Rams in Week 1 at SoFi Stadium, as leaks seem to intimate.
And of course, we're going to dig in on this tomorrow, game by game, when it is official. But hey, only 3 games have been released. It's the first 3 games. I like the way it's stacking up. Thus far, at least from the reports, Rams 3 o'clock game on the road. You know, then you come back, get an extra day of rest. Tampa Bay featured on Monday Night Football, so you're featured the first 2 weeks in a very exclusive window, the most exclusive on Monday night, and then go to Jacksonville and you catch a head coach that's still in his infancy as a head coach.
I will say that first game is going to be tough, though, man.
Oh yeah,
that's a tough task.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so as well, and so. We plenty of time to talk about it, though. That's the thing about the schedule release. There's a lot of time, and we'll get a little bit of a better feel of how much they'd be up for that challenge, if it indeed is the challenge that they'll have on Week 1. And yes, you're right, Ocho. 3 teams with pretty strong wide receiving cores in the Rams, the Bucks, and the Jags. I know that you like the Jags, Ocho, of course.
Mm-hmm. Man, the Rams. I forgot the Rams got Davante Adams.
They did add Davante Adams, but look.
Puka.
I wonder who's equipped to handle that kind of wide receiving core. All-Pro Sting, Kamari Lassiter, CJ, GJ, Kalen Bullock.
It ain't going to be easy, but I'm rolling with my boys,
absolutely,
though.
100%. And, of course, Will Anderson Jr., who was out there at the USAA event, using the jaws of life and everything. And I was like, I was just thinking about, like,
he had the whole outfit on.
Yeah, he was full firefighted out. And I was like, Is there nickname potential in here? Actually, I shouldn't throw that up to Lopez. Anyway, let's move forward.
Yeah.
I teased this. There was a Texans quote that I saw that I thought kind of represented a flawed perspective on team building. And it happened last week, and I guess it just hit me anew as I read it once more, which was D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of this Texans team, talking about the way that they're building this. And it's kind of a common refrain that we have, but you know, sometimes you just see something that you've seen a whole bunch and it hits you differently. Mm-hmm. And it reads as following, quote, "When everybody here lines up, all 90 guys, I hope every guy's competing for a starting job. If you're a true competitor, that's the only way I see it. Like, what else would you be competing for? Why else would you be lining up if you're not competing for a starting job?" Close quote. And I think on its face, you hear that and you go, yeah, you want everybody to be competing. But I think that the flawed nature of that is, if we were talking about baseball, a sport without a cap, really without a hard cap, they've kind of put soft caps on it with that with the competitive balance tax in some ways, as they try and find ways to, you know, mitigate that. But in a sport where there's no cap, teams can, I could see a team that just stocks their team with a whole bunch of talent and everybody is competing to start and at the highest level of competition. That's not the sport that you're in the NFL and in football. You have a hard tax, not even the soft, you know, cap that happens in basketball, even as they've tried to make that harder. You have a hard cap. This number is where you have to stop. You cannot exceed this number.
Yeah.
And that is inherently there to create parity. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a team that is just incredible players at literally every single position, because that is what the cap is there to prevent.
Yeah.
And so with that being the case, you're going to have a natural hierarchy of players if you were operating this at the best realm. Or you're going to get yourself to a place where you're lowering the ceiling on the amount of players that you can get in order to have everybody on your, all 90 of you guys. He didn't even say all 53. Yeah. All 90 of your guys capable to compete for a starting job, I think puts you in a place where you have a shallower pool and a lower ceiling of talent. And I think that's the flaw in the team building, because I don't know that you can build a team that gets to the places that you want to be, that simply, that really and truly, if we're being in all honest, we're being entirely honest about the way that it's built, has every single person really and truly competing for starting job.
No, you're right. I think we can also agree he's probably talking mindset.
Sure.
Like, he wants his guys to think they can compete, to think that there's an opportunity to get a job, you know, as a starter. But that's not the reality, and that's to your point. I also feel it's very selective in terms of where that can even become close to a reality. The offensive line, I want that to be the reality.
I'm not sure if I do.
Really?
Like, I understand you want people to go in and actually compete, but I want to have a distinction of talent to where, you're trying to compete for a job, however.
But I don't think there is one here.
And I think that's why I looked at, the reason why I view this as a flawed perspective on team building is it feels like even in this organization, you can see the places where it's not there, right? There's some pass rushers. Ain't none of them competing for starting jobs, if we're going to be completely honest, right? When it comes to Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter. Now, of course, how much does that matter with the rotation you'll have? Fair point to bring up there. They really did go and build this offense in that in that mindset, and I think that is why I continue to look at it and have questions about it. They don't have that. There ain't competition for the starting corner spots.
Yeah.
Right? You might say there's competition for the starting safety spots. And I think that is where...
Ooh, maybe.
And that's what I'm saying, right? And that's because you got Jimmy Ward there who has excess. And that's the problem that I have with it. And yes, I understand there might just be a situation where because of the parity, you're not going to be there in every spot. But the problem is you took one of the most important spots and you actually operated on something that I feel like inherently in football is a place that... a way that sounds good, but you can't actually operate it.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I mean, there are so many places where you know that is just not the reality. But the offensive line, you look at all 17 of these cats that are on the roster right now. I think it's fair for them to all think they have a shot. That's
for sure.
Not what you want.
And that's an issue. Would you like to pull up the Philadelphia Eagles depth chart and tell me if there's competition all the way down that offensive line
people
will start?
There is not.
Would you like to pull me up the Detroit Lions depth chart and tell me that there's competition all the way down that offensive line chart and tell me that there's guys all the way deep that feel like they have real strong competition? No, it's not there.
It's
and
not,
so
not the way it is.
It's one of those things that's good to say, and I understand why you have to say it, right? There's some things that you just kind of have to do. We all have jobs where things you just kind of have to do. And so I get that. The problem for me is that the actual idea of operating and living them reps in your team building, that is the thing that keeps me on edge. That's the thing that I lose sleep about when it comes to this offensive line. And I hope that they just prove me wrong and I have to shut up, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I do think that is a flawed way of going about team building.
No, it is in that case for sure. And I was also thinking, like, where are some places where we think we know the starters, but that might actually be the case? Because there's a couple places where I'm looking at this defense that we feel is like off the shelf, ready to go, going to be a monster. But I still think there are some quote unquote backups that might legitimately, feel and maybe even legitimately have a chance to start. And I'm looking at the interior defensive line.
I was thinking spine of the defense, which I say it that way, actually kind of. Right. Interior defensive line, linebacker were the two things I was thinking. In spine of the defense that goes, those are the places that you really want to be good, especially for stopping the run. But yeah, man, what does Sheldon Rankin still have? And do you have, I guess Folu Fatukasi is now back. Welcome back officially.
But you got Settle. You got, Edwards. I think all four of those guys are like, I'm going to be the starter.
And that's probably fine on the defensive line when you have a system like D'Amico Ryans does, where he has a want and a will and a ability to rotate guys in there. Maybe that doesn't fit in as well. Linebacker is an interesting one, but I think that one probably fits a little bit more to the place where you have the kind of talent where I feel comfortable with that.
No
matter
who it might end up being.
Christian Harris, EJ Speed, Henry Toa, especially after the season that he put up last year, where I go, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That is fine. Would you say maybe wide receiver there, or are you locked in on the idea that Jaden Higgins is going to take that other spot when it comes to starting?
He might have been talking to the wide receivers, to be honest. A lot of times these are messages, maybe messages to the offensive line. Wide receivers not named Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. I think he was talking to Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll. I mean, you got these veterans that have come in. They have to feel like they're going to have a shot. Xavier Hutchinson is still on this team, you know, and needs to take a step up. I think that's one of the places where he's like, hey, guys, you have to come in with the right mindset.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I think that at any point, everybody's competing for something, but people are competing for different things, mm-hmm. right? It's I don't want to make that metaphor because that's really long-winded, but I mean, some people are competing to be, you know, high-level players that try and go and contend for Pro Bowl, All-Pro. Some players are mm-hmm. competing to maintain their starting job. Some guys are competing to try and take a starting job. Some guys are competing to be on the 53-man roster. Some yeah. guys are competing to remain in practice.
And they know it.
And everybody's competing for yeah. something, but I think that competition is there. The specific idea that everybody's competing for a starting job
right.
feels like it's far-fetched. And I hear you from the 281 that says he could want 90 guys that all have the talent and ability, if maximized, to be NFL starters. And I hear that, but I just don't think that's actually realistic. And I get the idea of being idealistic. It's a good thing to be, but mm-hmm. sometimes rubber has to hit the road.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that leaves me in an interesting place with the offensive line, at least specifically the offensive line. With this Texas team right now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, all right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on this Wednesday. And we begin with it being schedule release day. Excited to see what the 2025 NFL schedule will ultimately look like. We know some of the big boulders of it, as you like to call them, some of the Hallmark games. We know that the Kansas City Chiefs will be all over your TVs Ooh. In your holiday season. And probably much to the chagrin of a lot of Texans fans because they're not in our good graces over here right now anyways. And you'll have to see them as well on the road, if correct me. Right, correct? You got them on the road this year?
Who? The Chiefs? The Chiefs? I believe you do have the Chiefs on the road,
we'll,
yes.
We'll see when that is.
Chiefs and Ravens are the big ones.
That's not one of the ones that we know as of yet, at least according to leaks, right? Nothing official just yet, but leaks that I feel like we could be, you feel at least fairly confident in. And for the Texans, the first three games have been leaked to some degree, so we'll see if that is ultimately right. But if it is, it means that you start off the season at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, facing off against the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay and them. So Nick Haley gets a very quick reunion
yeah.
with his former boss. And then you would return back home and host a Monday night football game against yeah. Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield and
Shiloh Sanders. And
I don't even know if he'll be on the team, brother. I really and truly don't. But the Bucks. We'll be in town for that Monday on week two,
prime
according
time.
To the leaks. That is technically a primetime game. That is correct. I appreciate the bit. And then you'll be back on the road for your first division game, week three, mm-hmm. at Everbank Field in Jacksonville versus the Jags. That is the current leaks as it relates to the Texans. You seem to like this to start with.
I do like it. Just the way it breaks down at Rams Monday night. It's got your attention. You're going to probably have the 3 o'clock window because it's in L.A., so you'll have the nation's attention, or most of the nation's attention, at minimum. And then you get an extra day off because you don't play the next week at home until Monday night. And then at Jacksonville, you got that young new head coach.
Dude.
You know, things are different. Yeah, that guy. The first three games, can't ask for a lot more. Those are the only three games that we know. Now, Jacksonville, we already have like seven of their games. Six or seven of their games, including the first month plus. They got Carolina at home, at Cincinnati, Houston, obviously, at San Francisco, Chiefs on Monday night at home in Jacksonville, by the way. Then the week that we don't have, and then the Rams at home, and then they've got Denver late in the season.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's a tough yeah. couple games.
And as far as the
I got no tears for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
yeah.
It might be over.
Yeah.
And they ain't got their first round pick.
And as far as the Chiefs are concerned, the Texans are going to have to face them on the road at some point. Well, we know it's not going to be the first 4 weeks. It's not going to be week six or seven. So the only chance to face them early in the season would be week five. Week five.
We'll when do you want to play them? Do you want to play
before
them
November,
early?
Before the okay. end of November?
He don't want that cold game.
Yeah,
is what he's mm-hmm. looking for, and I respect mm-hmm. that perspective. And I mean, if they're playing anything like they were last year, you might be able to get them when they're still getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
but we'll see how that yeah. ultimately pans out. That's what the leaks are looking like as of this point. We'll get the official release later this evening, and I'm very intrigued to see if the Texans are able to compete. Not football wise, but release wise, like if the mm-hmm. media team comes through strong, because I know that they have not been necessarily up in the best of the graces of the NFL when it comes to.
They kind of fell short last year. They yeah. were okay the year before. It's always going to be the standards are going to be the LA Chargers and the Titans.
Yeah, well, the Titans really won. What was that? 2 years ago when they got on
Man
Broadway.
On the street, yeah,
yeah, that was a good look. Yeah, you can't let the Titans beat you no more. Yeah. We need to come with that hotness. So we'll see what the Texans end up coming up with. Astros got a victory last night, 2-1, walk off fashion for Isak Paredes. He hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth to get things going or get things done. Pena had the other homer, and I guess the man who you have to salute. Actually, if you had to do hockey three stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
First star, second star, third star in this. How would you rank it of those three guys? It'd be those three guys.
Isak Paredes, one.
Would be the first star?
Yeah. Fromber, two. And then three would be Jeremy Pena?
That's why I thought it'd be Pena because of the homer. I mean, some good play just ultimately from the Astros. But, man, Fromber, eight innings of work. Great job there. And then Isak Paredes, as I mentioned, like obviously the bat – getting the home run, but also incredible glove work. Flash leather a lot, quite a bit. And really, I should say, I don't know if I can even say flash leather. I don't know that he did anything particularly
great plays.
Great third base, charged the ball well, good throws to first base, because that's one of those things that now I'm concerned about more than I usually am.
He's got more chances than any third baseman in Major League Baseball and zero errors.
Yep, 1,000 fielding percentage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that has been... I think a plus. I think we anticipated him being solid at third, but he's been fantastic at third base, which is huge for especially when someone like Frommer's pitching. He was asked by Julie Morales afterwards, and it's like, you know, that's a big deal when Frommer's pitching, and Frommer gets a little mad if they don't make those plays, so there's a little added pressure. But he has to. Yeah. He's a ground ball pitcher, and he has to feel confident that the defense behind him is going to make those plays. And I bet he feels a lot more confident after that game yesterday with Isak, but also with some of the other guys in the infield, that they are going to get the ball, pick the ball, get good throws to first, and make sure that they pick up outs when he induces the contact on the ground that he's trying to.
The play, the around-the-horn double play. By the way, Fromber had three-inning-ending double plays. Three-inning-ending double
plays. And back-to-back-to-back innings as well.
Yes, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But the play he made around the horn for a double play on Bobby Witt Jr., Witt was going down the line at 31 feet per second, which is like...
Is that fast?
Mickey Mantle or Jackie Robinson. I mean, it was like smoking.
I've heard of those guys. I think that they're good at baseball.
He's smoking fast, and he still got him in a double play.
From the 8-3-2, hands down Fromber number one, because he went 8, and almost I thought he could have gone 9, if we're being entirely honest. But the game was tied at 1. I understand... the reasoning not to. Isak, unreal. They put third.
No way.
What?
Isak saved at least one run, maybe two.
Yeah, the defense
hit the walk-off home run and made that double play that we're talking about that was in the midst of the Royals' mini rally when they scored their one run.
I mean, either way, I love those three having that kind of game. Hopefully they can have one again tonight. It's going to be necessary, I think. You got to give as much support as you can to a young man making his major league debut. That's Colton Gordon on the bump. For the Astros, just came up from Sugarland, 2.55 ERA at that level this season. And so it's going to be important for him. He's going up against Michael Lorenzen. The ERA isn't scary, but I know Lorenzen is a solid pitcher in this league. And we're still awaiting to find out if Yordan Alvarez is actually going to be come off the IL for this one, because he would have been eligible off of that. It was a 10-day IL stint to come off yesterday. We found out that he wouldn't. So we're eagerly awaiting, hopefully seeing Yordan return, and hopefully also return with a better bat, because it's been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not only has it not been Yordan, it's just been bad, and hopefully a little bit of that IL stint gives him an opportunity to reset and be much better.
And let's see if he can. If it lingers, we're going to start, you know, sort of feeling a little uncomfortable about it. Now, he was in the dugout last night, so we'll see if he's ready to go.
All right, and continuing to talk about what's popping is the conversation somewhat that we had yesterday that has spilled into today. After the Dallas Mavericks went from the 11th best odds to actually having the number one overall pick at the draft lottery, there was a lot of conversation amongst my coworkers and obviously other people in sports about the draft lottery being rigged. Here is one person who got to be in the room for the actual draft lottery itself. This is Chris Mannix describing just one of the reasons why he does not believe the draft is rigged.
It is impossible to rig the NBA draft lottery. The NBA goes to such great pains to ensure that there is no appearance of impropriety. The guy that is telling the ping pong ball selector when to draw from the bucket, he has his back turned to the whole proceeding. Like, he is standing there with his back to the drawing and has a stopwatch in his hand. And every 10 seconds, he will raise his hand. And that's when a ball is drawn. It would take a Houdini-esque act to be able to rig the NBA draft lottery. There's nothing suspect about what the lottery is.
That's what they want you to believe.
He lost me.
Okay.
He lost me when he said it's impossible to rig. Like, no. Like, how you know it's impossible to do?
Why not every? Every 10 seconds? Why is it every time? Why
or
is it
what
it,
happened before?
Why don't they change it around to 12, 14, 15?
What happened
You're
before
never
going
to be happy. You're never going to be happy. I just want that to be abundantly clear
I
to you.
I think that 10-second thing is like, oh, really? Huh? So maybe they put them in a certain order.
It's a lottery.
Okay. He just lost me when he said, oh, it's impossible.
Yeah,
all right, man.
I think if he had thrown in a virtually in there, people would find a little bit less fault. It is virtually impossible. Like, they go through great lengths to make this the case. But I think less about the rigged portion of it, but people started having the conversation on whether or not the NFL should have a draft lottery. Obviously, the idea of the lottery was brought in to try and avoid the tanking that happens when a team knows their season's out of play and they try and, you know, have a race to the bottom to secure as good of a draft pick as they can, which obviously that worked in a weird way with the Texans a couple years back where you would have thought that they would lose a game to the Colts at the end of the season. They win that game and they have the number two pick, which works out just fine for them because who they get again? I don't remember. You recall?
No, that would be one CJ
Stroud. That's right. How do you guys fall on this? Because a lot of people have had this conversation on whether or not the NFL should even consider or possibly have a draft lottery.
Yeah, I'm not in on an NFL lottery. And I think their lottery is unguaranteed contracts. You know, in a weird way. Let me explain it. These guys that are on the bottom of the roster, guys that are trying to stay employed in the NFL, they are committed to playing and putting their best on the film every week, no matter what, because there are no guarantees, you know, that they're going to be on that team or another team from year to year. So they have to play hard. Like, they have to play hard and put good stuff on tape. I know that's kind of a weird in the weeds kind of thing, but I think that's a factor.
But do you feel like the NFL do have a tanking problem, though? Like, I don't look at the NFL and be like, man, this tanking got to stop,
it's
man.
Never been
and
obvious,
we seen,
right?
And we seen, the only time I seen it obvious was, I think it was the Browns one time when it was like 1-15 and 0-16. You could say the Houston Texans at one point, but it wasn't like a big issue.
It's
though.
Less obvious, is what I'll say, in the NFL.
And then
there's incentive for them to play hard.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody was playing hard. It wasn't like people were – it wasn't unwatched. I mean, it kind of was unwatchable at one point. But it wasn't like, man, these guys are clearly tanking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like people are in that place where, nah, don't need the lottery there. Mm-hmm. I think, Lopez, you know exactly what my thing would be, and I know that people don't necessarily go in with me on that. Is I just think that the draft itself is probably inherently unfair, and you should probably
I agree with you on that
rookie
part.
Free agency. But I know that I am in the minority there. People talking about the NBA draft lottery. A couple of people on the text line saying the easy fix is just have the lottery itself, the ping pong balls, which again is the same machine that other lotteries actually use. Is that have it out visible? They do have it visible, but they have it. They record it and they show it after the actual television show. Yeah. And the obvious reason for that is the NBA makes money off of having the television show. And if you know ahead of time, then, or if you know as it's happening, where you actually do it that way, it takes away
they ain't going to change the narrative either.
Yeah.
No.
What did Kevin Garnett say?
Anything is possible. Oh, okay. I was hoping it was that one because there's other things Kevin Garnett says. I just can't really say them on air.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
There's that. There's the quit flopping.
Yeah.
And then the additional part that I can't, I probably could say on air, but I probably shouldn't say on air is more of the thing. But there you go. That's what's popping right now in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And again, if you missed it, Texans leaks have it so that they, again, not official, but the leaks are that they will be on the road week one versus the Rams, back at home on Monday Night Football versus the Bucks, and then back on the road week three for their first divisional game versus the Jaguars. That's what we're looking at this moment. All right. Coming up next, the Rockets, obviously in that draft lottery, ended up with the 10th pick. And that is one of the things that they could possibly end up trading if they were to make that move for a big-time player. And people have them in all sorts of trades. Could these trade targets be real, or are the Rockets now just a popular name to throw out? 713-572-4610. Let's break some of that down next.